Welcome, everyone, to the AI and Business Podcast. I'm Matthew DeMello, Senior Editor here at Emerge Technology Research. Today's guest is Julie Winkler, Chief Commercial Officer of CME Group. CME Group is a Chicago-based financial services firm that operates derivative exchanges, including the Chicago Mercantile Exchange and Chicago Board of Trade. Julie joins Emerge CEO and Head of Research Daniel Fajella on today's program to pull apart new trends in AI adoption for financial services with a focus on data and security challenges. Later in the program, she offers strategic advice on prioritizing different AI initiatives in the enterprise and subsequent lessons for leadership. Today's episode is sponsored by Deloitte, and without further ado, here's their conversation.
So, Julie, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Certainly, and we've got a lot to cover because we're talking about the whole financial services space. You've spent many a decade in this domain and are going to have a wide-reaching answer to this question, but I'm going to start pretty wide open, which is the trends and challenges that are making data and AI more of a C-suite conversation today in the financial services world. Speak a little bit to, I guess, what you're seeing among your peers and in the market broadly that you think is important to talk about.
Well, thank you, Dan. I think the speed of technology that we're seeing is certainly unprecedented. And what that's really doing is creating this need for experimentation to see how this technology can really be best applied. You know, AI platforms are now capable of just a lot. You know, we think it's certainly at impressively human-like level. And the speed is evolving really faster than anything we've ever even seen within financial services. And so what's exciting, I think, is that these advancements, particularly in Gen AI, are sparking a lot of thinking and testing and application and also just speculation, right, globally on what the massive value is that this can be gained through this use of technologies. I think as in terms of challenges, I'd say some of the traditional pain points that you see with a lot of other things, data accessibility, data quality, certainly emerged, but there were some new ones as we've begun this journey. For us at CME, we thought it would be a good idea to leverage some of our existing cross-functional data governance and processes to use for Gen AI. Yet, given the hype, you know, what was typically maybe a meeting of 10 or 20 or 10 or 12 people around the table discussing these, you know, we would see just this attendance balloon, right? Because everyone was so curious, right? About what was going on. So we really had to just take a step back and focus on a core group. And really this comes down to information security, compliance, and legal, and how we were going to leverage these teams to really kind of work through our Gen AI policy and approach. And our general going in approach is, you know, how can we ensure that our customer data is extremely secure? And as it works for info security and compliance and legal folks, unfortunately, their natural approach to these things is saying no, right? Because they have to approach it. Our brand, our reputation, everything is dependent on that. And so I think Gen AI was forcing us to try to think about how do we move them from no to maybe to yes? And that just takes a lot of time, right?
Yeah. So it sounds like the response to the tech itself obviously is required us to have these bigger strategic conversations. You're bringing up something that we've certainly heard often, and which is that there's a lot more open ears and open eyes when the phrase Gen AI kind of gets thrown around. You know, you had mentioned that what normally would have been a 10-person meeting now gets ballooned. I imagine there's kind of pros and cons to that, right? I mean, on the one hand, maybe we've got more stakeholders within different departments and parts of the business that would be excited to be part of this, that want to understand how they can add value and learn how this works, et cetera. And that's a good thing. But at the same time, you know, you can't have 100 people make a decision around strategy. That's going to be a very, very tough process. What have been sort of the pros and cons of the enthusiasm and excitement just around this term?
Yeah, I think you've certainly mentioned some things that we saw firsthand. I do think it's something that we want, you know, a broader stakeholder group to get excited about, because I think when we think about use cases, there is going to be applicability across a number of different areas. And so for us, right, it made sense for us to kind of set up some senior sponsorship with myself, as well as our chief information officer, and really kind of split it up, right? There's a portion of work that's going to be done and deployment across, you know, using Gen AI for code development. There's going to be a whole nother portion of use cases that, you know, are going to, you know, look at how we can use these tools to advance our go-to-market strategies, which is, you know, more in my wheelhouse. However, you know, we needed so many of these other support functions to also come along and also bring their expertise from an information security, a compliance and legal perspective as we work along this journey. And so we didn't want them there as instant experts on Gen AI. You know, that was really, I think, the role that both Google Cloud played as our strategic partner, as well as Deloitte in this example. And, you know, I'm afraid if we would have closed the door to the other folks in joining initially, it probably would have slowed us down, right? Because someone would have eventually worked their way back into the room and found a way to squash the ideas. And so I think opening it up, but ultimately I think it's about who really is going to make the decisions. And so honing back into when there truly was a decision to be made on moving forward or finalizing a policy, that was certainly a much smaller group, and needing to kind of set that team aside to make those decisions, I think for us was, you know, an approach that worked. But I think each organization is kind of different.
Yeah, I think that the pattern you just articulated is most likely to be sound advice pretty consistently, which is to say, let's get the voices in the room. Let's see what the concerns are. Let's see what the good ideas are. Let's get ideas on the table and get not only a felt sense of buy-in emotionally, but also hopefully a really informed discussion from different vantage points from, you know, IT or these business areas. But then when it comes to really steering strategy, we'll take it all into account, but it can't be a voting system across 2,000 people to pull the trigger on these really, really important things.
Correct.
Yeah, kind of feels like the way you guys went, and likely to be how it goes for many enterprises. I would say all things considered, definitely a good sign when there's that many people that are that interested in it. But at this point in AI's development, Gen AI is still in its nascency, but certainly AI from a broad standpoint, in financial services in particular, is more than an idea and is more than a buzzword at this point. This stuff is out in the world, whether it's fraud and compliance, whether it's customer experience, there's a tremendous variety of applications already out there. When you look at the sort of financial services world today, Julie, from your vantage point, and you think about the areas where it's adding value or it's going to be adding value that you really think are important, something worth putting a thumbtack in and really seeing as an important vector for change, what are some of those areas, those use cases, maybe from your experience?
I think the critical first step is just ensuring that the enterprise data itself is very centralized. And for us, you know, that solution set was about being in the cloud. I think to be able to take full advantage of AI, the machine learning aspects, and also the Gen AI tools, because it's going to cross multiple functional areas and applications, the fact that we had already moved a lot of our data into Google Cloud and had some central sourcing has allowed us to just move much, much faster. You've got to find the teams that have the bandwidth to do that. For us, you know, that has also meant moving into a more agile approach and an operating model that dedicates more of our resources to working on these things, which I think is also important. What we had found in some previous models is we were just expecting people to dabble in a lot of different things, and it wasn't helping us get the velocity and the throughput and the focus that we're now seeing as we have changed more of this operational structure. And so when we now have been able to hone in on that, our Gen AI efforts specifically have really allowed us to make some tremendous progress on things like building out a virtual expert that can help our customers both with, you know, insights and knowledge that they need from our website in a far more timely manner, and also just an AI-powered search for our website. And that will be helping us because it will allow clients to get information that they need faster. And then we also have some great use cases we're doing for our marketing and our sales teams just to better understand their customers, pipelining, prospecting, content development. And I get excited about those things because I think it's just a way, human in the loop is obviously critical, but it also is a way that we're just going to be able to create a lot more efficiency in how we go to market and ultimately get to the best place possible, that we're creating that far more personalized customer experience at scale that I think many financial services companies really kind of attain to get to.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of striving in that direction. But to be frank, Julie, and this is interesting, I'd love your perspective on this. If I think back across, you know, 8 years of interviews from head of AI at US Bank to, you know, chief customer success officer at a Blue Cross or whatever, and just all the various touch points across the varieties and permutations of FinServ, the bulk of current spend and current attention right from the start of AI to now has primarily been on defense applications. So by that, I mean driving efficiencies or reducing compliance risk. Really, the vast, vast bulk of it has been in that direction. And a small percentage of it has been towards affecting the top line and maybe even thinking about new product lines or new kinds of customer experience. That really has been absolutely third in line behind risk efficiencies. Then maybe we get into to revenues and product lines. What you've talked about here are really things in that third category. Did you guys have to go through that same sort of journey priority-wise, or do you think the industry in general is maybe moving and being able to be tilted more in the direction of enabling sales, enabling marketing, and kind of CX-related applications?
For us, it was kind of a natural place where we started. I think we've had a good decade or more under our belt in terms of utilizing AI for, you know, our market regulation and that integrity that you talked about earlier.
Yep.
And so when particularly with what generative AI can do for us, that is really where we saw a lot of commercial applications. And I do think we're maybe a little bit unique. I kind of point to our partnership with Google Cloud, our ability to really access their Gen AI tools really early out of the gate has helped us. And also, I suppose it's our own bend towards we have to continue to provide both products and services and risk management for an ever-changing industry. And so for us to be able to do that, we're going to find the most value in looking at commercial applications. You know, we have hundreds of thousands of customers that we're serving with a relatively small sales team. And so for me, you know, this was a natural place where we were going to get scale far more quickly with using these tools than we otherwise would have. And so deployment is just around the corner, and we're hoping to be able to build from that point forward.
Cool to hear, and definitely not the immediate attitude of necessarily all of your peers, but I'm kind of hoping that it's a bit of a portent of where financial services will go. The sort of association of AI equals automation and that's it has been a long-standing one in FinServe. I do think it's starting to shift, and clearly within your organization, it sounds like it has. Would love to talk a little bit here about some of these applications that you mentioned and just give a sense to the listeners as to what possibilities are opening up, you know, and what that means for businesses. The first one that you touched on was sort of an assistant to help guide people with information within CME and maybe even some kind of an AI-powered search on the actual homepage. As you were leading your way into that, let me actually get into prioritization. You had said, hey, we have people scattered all over the place and working on a bunch of different things. That didn't work for us. I'd love to know, as I poke into these couple applications where you have started working, what was the successful exercise to distill those priorities? You know, what had to happen with leadership and kind of strategy and brainstorming to say, hey, let's really apply this new technology that we are going to have to learn some hard lessons with in these specific high value areas and not scatter ourselves too thin? What was productive for you there? Because every company is going to go through that process.
For us, Dan, it really was about having a central place that we were gathering all of the use cases across the company and working through the prioritization in a central location. And so, as I mentioned earlier, right, the kind of joint sponsorship from the CIO and myself, being able to, you know, look at what those use cases were that were coming in from different users. And that allowed us to just kind of say, we're going to dedicate resources to this, you know, that piece in the pipeline, certainly interesting, but something that we're going to look at later. Say we also learned, you know, it was pretty important out of the gate to find how much time and effort was going into solving some of these problems today. And so, you know, as teams would bring their use cases to us for consideration, you know, one of our initial questions back to them was, how much time are your teams spending doing this work without this technology today? And that became a really difficult question, I think, to answer, right? Measuring the productivity across teams, looking at how intensive these manual processes were. But that for us was a good North Star of kind of identifying then what kind of rose to the top, what were some things that we were willing to invest in out of the gate, and being very transparent. So we were clear with our Gen AI strategy that our intention was to use this term of stay in the wave. We didn't want to be out in front of the wave. We didn't want to be behind the wave, but having ourselves clearly in the middle of the wave, being transparent with others across the organization of what the list of use cases were that we had under consideration, and also identifying where there were maybe some proof of concepts that we could look towards external vendors to solve for and to come in and do some tests. And for us, it was really about how do we just help people, you know, support them and also experiment with some of this technology to find out what we really want to make sure that we're investing and deploying in at scale. I'd say along the way, firms really need to be prepared to be both agile and pivot. I think the team feels that there's probably 100 micro pivots that have happened day to day. And there's really just, there's no way that you can't make changes. And so I think making sure that you very much have a learning culture, again, some dedicated resources to work on some of this stuff and provide that support. And ultimately, I think the other critical part is just the relationships back with other parts of the organization that are going to enable this ultimately to get through your normal processes and approval. Without that bedrock of strong relationships with the legal team, with compliance, with information security, I don't think we would have made the progress that we did. And so I can't underscore enough how important that is as you work to kind of embark on even setting these use cases up.
Absolutely. And we're going to get into some of the leadership lessons, hopefully here at the end of our chat. And I feel like there's been a lot of emphasis on exactly what you brought up there. But I'm going to try to nutshell some of what you just articulated here for the listeners, make sure I'm on the right page, and we'll get into a couple of these use cases as we move on. Part of the process seemed to be here, knowing where you want to be with regards to the wave. I like the term, being in front of the wave, being kind of in the wave or on the wave, and then being behind it. You guys have decided, hey, we want to be on this thing. We don't necessarily need to be in front of it for everything. And I think that's an interesting conscious choice. I think that often feels like it's something that is a result of emotion and not really a decision from leadership, but that was kind of a cool one that you've done. And also the idea of being able to look out across your use cases and measure how much time people are taking for different tasks. What we found, Julie, generally is that it's really tough because it's normally not an entire workflow or process where AI is going to radically overhaul things. It is a juncture of a workflow is the way that we frame it, a juncture of a workflow. And no one's sitting over anybody's shoulders with a stopwatch about, you know, when you have to search for these documents in this way, right? They're like, I don't know. It's part of my whole process. I don't know how long that one thing takes. I mean, did you guys run into a lot of that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's two things, right? For the virtual assistant that we're working on for our website, you know, we have 68,000 pages that are on cmegroup.com today. And so that the goal of the website is to provide both existing and prospective clients with a vast amount of information, educational material about our products and our market. Yet it can be hard with 68,000 pages, right, to ensure that clients can really find effectively, I'd say, the answers and the information that they need. And so, you know, for that one, it's a little bit more difficult, like to measure, right, how much I'd say difficulty, right, clients are having today in finding that. But we know that search wasn't completely going to meet their needs. For the internal use cases, as we think about, you know, our marketing or our sales team, you know, there's a significant amount of time that we can point to that they spend summarizing, mining, merging both vast amounts of data to work towards that better understanding of our customers and prospective customers. And we can see that a little bit more as we, you know, utilize tools like Salesforce, which, you know, gives you at least a baseline of how the time flows in those particular things. And what we are looking to do is to really be able to take that data and turn that knowledge into insights and ultimately allow our sales and marketing team to take action, you know, far sooner. And it's that speed that is, you know, something that we do believe that we're going to be able to measure more effectively as we start deploying this. And getting the right people in, I would say, to also just test those tools as the team has been doing the building, not just having the team closest to the build, but ultimately the users that are going to be tasked with running this over time. That has been a critical thing too. So their feedback loop has been important as we've done all those micro pivots along the way.
Yeah. And I think it's been said in many, many ways. I think one of my favorite ways is that AI is more like R&D than IT. In other words, you know, iteration and micro pivoting to your phraseology there, kind of par for the course. Really hard to escape that when we're building new and interesting applications, especially when we're training something on our own data, which maybe we haven't used before. So good for our listeners to kind of understand how much of a part of the process all of this pivoting is and how much getting used to that and experimentation is really going to be necessary for change. Just being mindful of time here, Julie, there's been a lot that you've already talked about that is sort of leadership advice related. You know, my ending question in this series has really been around what other leaders in financial services should be thinking about as they begin their AI journey. Many of them are just starting to draw up those strategic priorities. And you've brought a couple good points to bear that I'll put on the table. And I'll see if there's anything else you want to chip in that could also be helpful for listeners and for other leaders. One of them was, you know, getting the various stakeholders and groups sort of involved, bought in, contributing ideas, and also contributing, you know, emotional buy-in to the process early on, but then being able to have a more culled sort of focus group that maybe could actually determine the boots on the ground strategy. That was a point that was pretty relevant. You also talked about sort of assessing some of the opportunities with across your business by looking at how long do different processes take. Let's look at some things where AI could really make a difference, and let's get an understanding of what the cost of that is, both for our team members' frustration and also just their time and dollars, maybe using that as a bit of a litmus test. And then you've also brought up here, right before I started speaking, this notion that end users should be part of the process. As we're building something out, let's make sure we have them involved. Let's make sure this is something they're going to want to use. Those are great nuggets unto themselves. But I guess if you think about in closing and you think about your peers who are going to go through the same journey, much of the same steps that you went through in your journey, what else should they know about getting prioritization right and being able to see ROI from these early efforts? Because it's not easy.
Right. I think I would summarize it, Dan, as follows. I mean, I think it is about clear centralization, senior sponsorship also being essential, establishing really a process where those use cases can be evaluated. And then also, what is the firm going to use to help prioritize those, whether that aligns with the commercial value, the feasibility of that use case, as well as for financial services. I think the risk appetite that the organization has is absolutely something to take under consideration. We haven't talked about it, but I would say it's really important to not assume that individuals will learn about AI on their own and what these tools are capable of. So providing, you know, a comprehensive education program is really important, as well as just ensuring employees that are going to be using these tools understand the benefits and, most importantly, to the risk of what these AI tools have, you know, inherent in them. And then the last one is one that we've kind of identified just even over the last couple of months, is that because these models are changing so quickly, really building out an automated testing process to help monitor these model changes is also important, so that every single time that model changes, the team isn't having to really kind of go back and begin testing from the beginning. And that really comes about as well from consideration of partnering with experts, I would say, to help deliver on that automation process. But I think that will really help kind of drive that velocity of changes as people start this deployment. And that's one that I don't think we identified early on, but one that we're finding tremendous value with now.
Well, a lot of lessons are going to be learned the hard way, but it sounds like you were able to avoid some of the other pitfalls that others have fallen into. And hopefully some of what you've learned will benefit the other folks who are tuned in here today, Julie. I think the ending points here, particularly with regards to education, being able to have a structure to level up people's skills if they're going to be interacting with this technology about both benefits and risks, definitely applies to everybody tuned in. So I know that that's all we have for time, but Julie, thanks so much for being able to be with us and sharing your perspective.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
Wrapping up today's episode, some talking points Julie had mentioned that I think deserve some greater emphasis for our executive audience. Julie opened the podcast by discussing the rapid technological advancement in financial services, emphasizing AI's potential for innovation. She went on to highlight ongoing challenges with data quality and compliance, noting the cautious stance of security and legal teams. Throughout the episode, she emphasizes the need for broader stakeholder involvement in AI initiatives for successful adoption. She describes a strategy involving diverse departments in AI decision-making to smooth processes. Centralizing enterprise data is essential for effective AI integration in financial services. Julie mentions AI improvements like a virtual expert and AI-powered website search, enhancing customer service and marketing. She reports on Blue Cross's AI use for commercial aims, emphasizing the potential to grow partnerships and focusing on service delivery and risk management. A central hub for AI use cases prioritizes and streamlines projects. Relationships with legal and compliance teams are crucial for project enablement and progress. Julie, throughout the episode, also stresses broad engagement in AI projects for early buy-in and idea generation. She highlights the importance of leadership oversight and training for understanding AI's impact. Lastly, she points out automated testing for AI consistency and expert partnerships are recommended. On behalf of Daniel Fajella, our CEO and head of research, whom you heard from earlier in today's show, of course, as well as the rest of the team here at Emerge Technology Research, thanks so much for joining us today, and we'll catch you next time on the AI and Business Podcast.